Good morning. All right. Well, I'm not going to ask you to do it again, but just know I'm disappointed. I'm so glad to be here with you again this morning. I'm glad everybody made it out. I was afraid maybe the weather would stay so nice as it was yesterday and no one would show up to church today. But fortunately, everybody wants to come inside again. So it's good to have everybody here this morning. I was trying to come up with a picture that describes what it feels like to preach in front of this congregation every Sunday, right? And this is kind of what it feels like at times. So, and it's not so much your fault. It's just a daunting task. It's a scary thing to stand in front of people and do your best to proclaim the truth of God's word to them. So if you can tell from the title, this sermon is really for me, okay? Not that I think I am an effective preacher, but I really want to be, right? Like, that is a goal of mine. I really want to be an effective preacher. I want to be good at it, but I want to point people to Jesus. I want to teach them the truth of God's word. I want to rightly apply it to their life. That's a goal of mine. That's something I strive for. And, of course, the letter that we've been going through, Paul's second letter to Timothy, is a pastoral epistle. You know, we know he's encouraging Timothy to be a good pastor, to be a good minister of God's word. And so this message is especially true for preachers, but there's application for all of us as well. There's 7 points today and no subpoints. Okay, so this really, it really just is 7 points today, which is more than three, but less than 21. So anyway, I just want to encourage you that although this is Paul's pastoral encouragement to Timothy, there is something that we can all, whether you're a preacher or not, take from that. And so the main thing, which we're going to get to in a minute, this is like point number three or four, right? But one of the most important things for being a preacher is that you preach, right? You preach the word. You preach the word. Years ago, when we were in Guthrie, there was this older church. It was a really cool, historic, old church. And anyway, the congregation had kind of dwindled down to not much at all. But they brought in this younger, all right, for a preacher, he was younger preacher. And he had this really cool secular job. And he left that and he became a preacher at this church. And there was all this excitement. He came, and there were some younger people that started coming. Oh man, the music has gotten so much better. He was a gifted musician. Oh, the preaching has gotten so good. And so anyway, some younger people started attending the church. And one of the students in our youth group, his mom started attending this church. He had been, he was the first in his family to really start coming to church. He had attended our youth group on Wednesdays. He started coming on Sunday mornings, but he wanted to go to church with his mom. So he went to this church with his mom on Sunday mornings. And then he came back on a Wednesday night and he's like, man, can I just talk to you? And I was like, what's going on? And he said, I can't go to church with my mom anymore. I said, why not? And he says, do you know? And he started telling me about this. He says, we sing and the music's fine or whatever. The pastor gets up there and he says, he talks for 20 minutes. And I thought, you're griping about this, right? He said, he talks for 20 minutes. Someone are like, really? This sounds like good stuff, right? He talked for 20 minutes and he didn't open his Bible one time. And he said, he read stories. He read poems. He made us laugh. He made us cry. But he'd never once open the word of God. And he's like, and I don't think anybody there has a problem with it. And I thought, well, good for you, man. Like, good for you that you see that this is a problem. And eventually things kind of fizzled out with that. You know, that flash can only take you so far. There needs to be some substance. So to be effective in gospel ministry, whether you're a preacher or just be effective as a believer, to be effective in your home, to be effective when you're ministering to your children, ministering to your family, effective ministering to your coworkers at your job. And I wanted to say golf course, but I don't know if anyone plays golf around here because I think you have to drive an hour to play golf. But effective with your friends, all right, ministering to them on the golf course or whatever you do, probably more in the woods with your friends. I don't know, whatever you do. Effective in ministering or witnessing to your friends at all. There's some things that we need to consider. So Paul gives this encouragement to Timothy. And we're going to pick up in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where we ended off last week in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And so as we get into chapter 4, remember it's coming off the heels of Paul encouraging Timothy, hey, remember the Word of God. You've been acquainted with the sacred writings, the scriptures, ever since you were a young boy, right? This faith has been passed down to you. The Word of God is powerful. It's effective for every area of life, right? Read it, study it, know it. It'll equip you for every good work. And then we pick up the letter here in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom. So he says, hey, remember the Word of God, remember all this stuff. But then he says, I charge you, right? I command you, I encourage you, I exhort you, right? In the presence of God the Father, of course, and Christ Jesus. What I think Paul is doing here is say, remember, Timothy, this is serious business. This is really, really serious stuff. This is important stuff. The ultimate audience to all of this is the Lord himself. The ultimate person you ought to seek to please, right, is God himself. I solemnly testify, challenge, warn, Jesus is watching. And Jesus is ultimately the one who will judge, right? Jesus is ultimately the one who will judge. If you read Revelation, you know that it's Jesus who will judge the lost by their deeds and will eventually cast them into the lake of fire, Revelation 20. And will also, for the believer, we're standing in front of the bema seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Of course, we know that we are saved by grace through faith, right? We're not going to earn our salvation, but I think the Bible speaks pretty clearly that we will be rewarded for the good that we do and will be held accountable for what we do not do or the things that we ought not to do. And Jesus is the judge of that. And so the effective preacher, I believe this starts with anything, the effective Christian, but especially the effective preacher, must fear the Lord. The effective preacher fears the Lord. And then we're going to read a couple of my least favorite scriptures in all of the Bible, right? And you'll see why. If it was Thomas Jefferson and he was in my position, I think he would just mark these out, right? That's kind of the way that some people do it. So anyway, James 3:1 says this, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. As you can see, that would be one that preachers really don't like. But it is one that we need to keep in mind. Hey, this is a serious thing. This is a very important thing that you're doing. And then Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So we're going to be accountable to Jesus. We're going to be judged with a stricter, more harsh judgment, and we're to keep watch over people's souls, and we'll give an account for that. Scary, right? Scary stuff. You're not scared, right? But I'm scared. Right? I don't know. Maybe Ed's scared. But this is an important thing. We know that ultimately, the Psalms tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And standing before a congregation on the Lord's day and saying, this is what the Lord says, is a serious business, is a serious task. I like to tell jokes, right? Not so much for you, but for me, right? It helps me get through because it can be a challenging and a scary thing. When we preach the Word of God, we need to present it with humility, out of submission, fear, and respect for God and for His Word. Verse 2, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So the effective preacher preaches the word. That word preach there means to herald or proclaim out loud. You know, obviously, preaching requires you to preach, to speak out loud, to declare out loud. But not only that, he doesn't say just preach, but to preach the word diligently, rightly. you know, dividing the word of truth appropriately. This is not just, although I do believe it is good to share about personal experience, it is good to, you know, apply it. But the most important thing is that we are truly, accurately teaching what the Bible says, not preaching ourselves. As Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4:5, he says this, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Ultimately, what we're not up here to do, and ultimately what the believer ought to do, is not to just present our opinion on something, right? Not present, "This is how I feel," but to present what the Lord has revealed, what the Lord has said. Acts 20, verse 2 says this. Or 27, sorry. "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." It's real easy. I'm just going to let you know. It's real easy to pick out one verse or half a verse or a couple verses and try to make those say exactly what you want them to say, right? Oftentimes, when you go to a preacher's conference, there will be a one verse, and this, a lot of people say, "Well, that'll preach." And a lot of times that will preach, but you need to make sure that that verse is actually, you know, when you're preaching that, it's actually going along. Of course, that verse is inspired by God, and it's true, and it's whatever. But you can twist that to make it say something that you want it to say, and not what it's actually saying if you're not careful. We need to be careful to present the full counsel, the whole counsel of God. This is one of the reasons I believe it's important to preach through whole books of the Bible. For one, when you preach through whole books of the Bible, you get to parts that you really don't like, right? And are really scary and are really complicated and hard. So you got to do your best to present, "Hey, this is what God says." You'll get to parts that step on your own toes, right? You get to parts that will step on the toes of your congregation. But it's important that we seek to preach and teach all that God has said, right? It is good, I think, even to do topical sermons. That is important, as long as we are rightly applying it, as long as we are looking at all of what God says and applying that to our situation properly. There was a preacher who was really instrumental, I believe, in the 40s. He was a very conservative guy when the fundamentalist controversy was going on. He was very true to God's word. He was very conservative, and he was very good. He was an anchor really in that time for the Christian movement. But his name was Clarence Edward McCartney, and he was a Presbyterian minister. And in the last couple days of his life, in 1957, he was dying. His brother came to visit him. His brother was on his way to preach at a church nearby. And the last words of encouragement that he gave to his brother, a fellow preacher, as he was going to preach was, "Put all the Bible you can into it." That ought to be the goal, I believe, of every sermon, to put all the Bible that you can into it, because that's where the power is. Power isn't from our own human intellect or our own human wit or whatever. It comes from what God has said. The word of God is living and active, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword. So use it. Use it. The next one, the effective preacher is always ready. As it said, be ready, as Paul says, be ready in season and out of season. I think what we're getting at here is always be ready. There is no off season, right? Oftentimes, I believe every believer can get discouraged or can get worn out or can get tired, right? But it's important in those moments that we rest in the Lord and we don't rest from the Lord. Don't take a vacation from Jesus. Maybe take a vacation with the Lord, all right? Spend time with Him. Let Him encourage you. Let Him fill you up, right? Let Him give you what you need, right? Rest in the Lord, not from the Lord. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. It's interesting. Way back, I was reading about this way back during the Reformation. There was a guy named John Calvin, and he did not like to speak in front of people, right? It wasn't really his thing. He really wanted to just to write in solitude, to read, to study in solitude, and then just write. But he was challenged and encouraged that he needed to be preaching. And so he ended up in Geneva having to preach every day of the week and twice on Sunday, right? I don't know if that's where that phrase or that saying came from. Who knows? I don't know. Someone could probably enlighten me on that. But he had to preach a lot. Now, the council was very generous to him one time and said, well, you know, actually, you only have to preach three times a week and then twice on Sunday. But for a good chunk, he had to preach every day. And that is quite a challenge. But you've always got to believe every preacher ought to always have something on his heart to share about God. And not just the preacher, but if you've spent time in the Word, if you've been spent time studying, if you've spent time in prayer, you ought to have something to share with those around you. But you're not always going to feel like it. You're not always going to feel like it. When it's convenient and when it's inconvenient, we ought to always be ready to share the Word of God. Let's read verse 2 again. I know we've already read it, but let's read it one more time. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with complete patience, exhort with complete patience and teaching. So this next one is really my least favorite part. And this point here comes out right out of the last part of verse 2. The effective preacher will offend. Right? That ought not to be the goal. That ought not to be the heart. But the effective preacher will offend. We're to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Right? The first two, reprove and rebuke, really aren't that much fun. Right? Let me give you some synonyms. If you're like me, synonyms help you understand a word better. To expose, to convict, to confront, to chide, to admonish, to warn. That can be a very hard job to do, especially when the people that you're trying to do that to pay your salary, right? That's a scary thing. That's a scary thing. And some of you are like, and don't you ever forget it, right? So anyway, that is a scary thing to do. It's a tough job. One of the pastors I was reading about this particular passage was talking about this, and I thought what he had to say was pretty good. He said, If you enjoy reproving and rebuking, you are likely not fit for the ministry. But if you do not do it, you are a shirker, right? You are not doing what you are supposed to do. You are being lazy, right? And so the effective preacher will at times offend, right? He will at times offend. If he is rightly preaching the Word of God and rightly applying it, it will at times offend because we are sinful people. Right? I know sometimes I just read the scripture by myself and I get offended, right? How dare God say that about me, right? How did he know I would be reading this today, right? The Word of God will at times offend. Years ago, there was a conference, not actually, it wasn't that long ago, there was a conference and there was this controversial issue that was coming up. And several people would get up on stage and now we need to be aware that the world is watching, the world is watching, the world is watching. And one guy got up and says, yes, the world is watching, but you know what's more important? Jesus is watching, right? We need to be faithful to what God has said. We need to be more concerned about offending the Lord, right? We ought not to do that. We ought to care more about what Jesus says than what the world and even our own people, our congregation has to say, right? We need to seek Jesus first. Trust him more, right? Fear him the most, right? And say what he's called us to say. Not to be a people pleaser, not to win a popularity contest, but to be faithful to Christ, to be faithful to his word. But an effective preacher, a good preacher will also encourage. Not just you sorry people, right? But will also encourage. The effective Christian will also encourage. He will come alongside, encourage, comfort, right? With the chief goal being reconciling people to God and reconciling to each other. Now, how do we know when to do what? I don't know. I'm just going to call it, I think, right? Or, you know, on top of that, also pray, right? Ask for discernment, spend time in the Word, apply what's appropriate and when, right? Pray for discernment, seek wise counsel, be faithful to the Word of God, and apply it, and preach God's Word in its fullness, and let the Word do the work with complete patience and teaching. Verse 3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Now, when does this happen? Like every generation this has happened, right? I mean, there are people that in every generation run away from God, stray from God, and will also heap teachers and preachers around them that will encourage them or not condemn them in their sin, right? That will be allow them to be comfortable with it. As a matter of fact, there was a preacher, I don't even call him preacher, but a bishop in the 4th century who had something to say about this. He said, he called it itching ear syndrome, right? When people would do this, he called it itching ear syndrome. And he said this, he said, when this syndrome is in place, people who call themselves Christians will find the truth in Christ Jesus intolerable and seek to stamp it out, right? That is itching ear syndrome. Now, all of us, I think, have a tendency to do this a little bit. You know, we want people to reaffirm us, to affirm what we believe. We want people to point to other people's problems, but never to ours. Never to ours, right? So we see today, we see this in America today. We see it everywhere. You know, you can easily find these people on TV. You know, these people will make headlines. These people will write in publications. These people will sometimes have book deals. These people will sometimes speak in conferences, right? But one thing that we've got to understand, and when we look at and we point to teachers or preachers and we listen to them, right, we ought to make sure that they're being faithful to what God says and not just tickling our ears, not just telling us what we want to say. And this is, I think, an easy thing for anyone to fall into, right? Because I've never personally lived this, but I have seen it. There seems to be a lot more money in the ear-tickling business, right, than the faithfully preaching business. You know, I have never seen a real faithful Bible preacher stand before one of his many congregations and say, I need a second private jet, all right? God has spoken to me. I have told you everything you want to hear. Now give me my second private jet. I've never heard a faithful Bible preacher do that. So, with all that being said, it is hard, I believe, though, for preachers to stay faithful for in that. So let me pray for you, right, and you pray for me on this, right? It's easy to point at others, but let us also examine ourselves to make sure that this isn't what we are doing. Because the effective preacher knows that fights are indeed coming. Fights are indeed coming. There are people, as the scriptures say, who will not put up with sound teaching and will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will wander away from listening to truth and wander off into myths, right? What are these myths that people were wandering off into in Paul's day? I'm not totally sure exactly what all these things were, but seemingly, whatever it was drawing people away from the truth of God's word and allowing them and encouraging them to go further on in their sin, to pleasing themselves, to pleasing their own ungodly passions, right? To leave the truth of God's word and stray. Whatever this is, wherever this is coming from, the effective preacher knows that these fights are coming and you need to fight against it. He says this, Paul says this to Timothy in chapter 1, or excuse me, the first letter to Timothy. I'm having trouble. 1 Timothy 1:18. The charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. That you may wage the good warfare. And I want to, my last couple of verses, read this. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The effective preacher stays the course. I don't know how many times I have seen this and how many preachers that we've seen fall, but they will start off really well, or seemingly they start off really will. They'll be faithful to God's word. They'll be faithful to building up their congregation. They'll be faithful. They'll be faithful in everything, seemingly. But then, as time goes on, they love the applause of men, right? They love the praise of men, and they fall off course. They fall out. They fall off of what God has called them to do. They stray. They stray either in their personal life or in their teaching, or I believe oftentimes those things are connected. They stray in both. But the effective preacher, and perhaps one of the best examples ever, was Timothy's mentor, and who was writing this letter. We see the Apostle Paul, even into imprisonment and beating and even what would eventually be his death, he was faithful to preach the word of God, to speak the truth of God's word, to encourage, to reprove, to rebuke, right? He was faithful to God and faithful to his word. And Timothy was left an amazing example in him. 2 Timothy 4, 5 through 8. We just read that a minute ago, but I want to also point us to 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. This is again Paul, right, writing to the Corinthian believers, says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself may be disqualified." Right? The effective preacher stays the course. Paul says, "I beat my body and make it my slave. I do not run like a man running aimlessly." Right? When we do what God has called us to do, right? Not just preachers, right? But when you're ministering the gospel as a mother, as a father, as a grandpa, as a grandma, right? As a teacher, as a Sunday school teacher, at day camp, as a crew leader, right? When you are helping in whatever capacity that God has given you to lead in, right? When God has given you that opportunity, right? No matter what it is, when you serve God and serve Him with a whole heart and serve Him well, right? I do believe with everything that God sees that and He rewards that. You're not doing it for no reason. There's a great purpose because there's a great audience and there's a great reward. Right, I want to encourage us all, not just me, right? I know this has been a lot for me today, and please pray for me, right? This is a lot of stuff, okay? This is a lot of stuff, and I know I've been very convicted and challenged by a lot of this. But in whatever capacity we're serving the Lord, we are serving the Lord. If you are in Christ, you are serving the Lord. You ought to be serving Him. And whatever you do, whether work in word or in deed, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all to the best of your abilities. Do it all as faithfully as you possibly can. And I believe that God rewards it and He sees it. So I want to close in prayer, and Delbert's going to actually read the closing scripture. Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for this church. I thank You for the opportunity we have just to get in Your word and to read it and to preach it and to hear it preached. God, I pray for me that I would be faithful, a faithful preacher, that I would be effective. Lord, I pray for our congregations and our congregation in the different jobs that You've given them, the different opportunities to serve that You've given them. Lord, I pray that they would be faithful. I pray that we would spend the time that we need with You. Lord, I pray that we would seek Your face, that we would spend time in the Word, that we would study it diligently. I pray that we would rightly divide it. I pray that we would apply it properly. Lord, and I pray that we would put ourselves in positions to be used by You. And then when we are given opportunities, Lord, that we would take them and we would do it with a full heart. I pray that You would be with us as we go from this place. I pray that we would be the believers that this world needs to see. Lord, that we would not just only in our words, Lord, praise You, but Lord, in our lives, in our conduct, in our speech, in everything that we do, that we would point people and draw people closer to you, God. I pray that just pray for this church. I pray that you would do just a, continue to do a great work in it. I pray that you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged, challenge us where we need to be challenged, convict us where we need to be convicted, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, I'll be reading in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their husbands, and that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. If you'll stand with me. Bow with me. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the message that Josh brought to us this morning. That I just pray that you just give us opportunities this week to show our love to other folks and just and help us to take advantage of those opportunities. Thank you for your blessings and dying on the cross for us. Just keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.